Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You've reached episode number 396, entitled New Show, At the Core, with Birgit Pauli Hack, episode 1. It was published on Thursday, the 31st of October, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and before we begin, some very short housekeeping. The first thing to mention is that if you are in the market for Black Friday in the WordPress space, fear not, we have got you completely covered. I'm going to suggest you bookmark this page. It's wpbuilds.com/black. That's wpbuilds.com/black. Once you've bookmarked that, you're going to be able to return to that page and search and filter all of the WordPress deals. That could be plugins, themes, blocks, hosting, SaaS apps, who knows? If you go to that page, you're going to find a variety of different things to do. The first thing is to look at our sponsor slots at the top. At the moment, we've got two sponsors occupying those cards. We've got WS Form and Gravity Forms. If you have a product in the WordPress space, click on one of the Get Started buttons in one of the empty tiles and fill out the form, and we'd be happy to have you pride of place on that page. The other thing to say is that if you've got a product or service in the WordPress space, scroll down a little bit and you'll see a row of buttons. Click the Add a Deal button, fill out that form, and we will get your plugin, theme, block, whatever it may be, onto that page free of charge. And it is very popular in the run-up to Black Friday. Hundreds and hundreds, typically about 400 deals end up on there. And if you're just using it to search for bits and pieces, then don't forget to use the yellow search filter deals so that you can drill down to exactly what you want. So once more, wpbuilds.com/black for all your Black Friday needs. The other thing to say is if you would like to sponsor the WP Builds podcast and get yourself in front of a WordPress-specific audience that way, head to wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more. We would love to get you on board, a bit like these three fine companies. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also joined by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And also by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of roller coaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And true, sincere, honest thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and Omnisend for really helping out and keeping the lights on over on the WP Builds podcast. Okay, what have we got for you today? Well, honestly, I'm staying away from Halloween. There's enough gloomy weirdness going on in the WordPress space already. So today I'm going to introduce yet another brand new show. Over the past few weeks, we've been unveiling a whole host of new shows with the likes of Courtney Robertson, with Remke Stavris, with Ray Moray and Tim Nash. And today I'm joined by Birgit Pauli Hack. And this show, much like all the other ones, is going to be coming out on a quarterly basis, something like that. And we're calling it At the Core. And the idea is that each 3 months, every quarter or so, we will go over all of the bits and pieces that have been happening in the core code of the project, what new features are coming, what has already been added in, anything exciting or new or maybe experimental. And so today is the first attempt at that show. So we're trying to sum up what's happened in the very recent past. And Birgit Pauli Hack, who is the person behind the Gutenberg Times, well, she felt like the perfect person to join me for this. I really hope that you enjoy it. Don't forget to go to wpbuilds.com, search for episode number 396, and leave us a comment there. Like I said, I really hope that you enjoy it. I am joined on the podcast today by Birgit Pauli-Hack. How are you doing, Birgit?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Nathan.
You are very, very welcome. This is going to be a real timely show. It is going to be free of controversy because we're going to talk today purely about the WordPress project from a code perspective. You know, that thing that builds your website, not all the other bits and pieces that you may have been consumed by over the past few weeks. And Birgit's joining me. She's an automatician, and I'll let her do her bio in a minute. But I'll just let you know what the purpose of this show is. The idea is that Birgit, and you never know, maybe somebody else will join Birgit in the near future, will join us about once every quarter, so every 3 months, and do a little summation of what's happened in the WordPress project from a code point of view, core, let's call it that, in the last 3 months. Now, because this is the first one, we don't really have a three-month boundary. So who knows? Maybe some of the stuff will be brand new. Maybe some of it will be a little bit older than that. But the idea going forward will be to do this show with 3 months looking over our shoulder and thinking about what's happened. And hopefully get you re-engaged, excited about what's happening in WordPress core. Is that all right with you, Birgit?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I love it. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking WordPress?
Yeah, here
for Drupal.
Yeah, that's right. No. So, Birgit, firstly, before we begin, you've been on many shows that I've done before, particularly this week in WordPress. But if podcast listeners are not familiar with you, would you just give us, I don't know, maybe 1 minute, something like that, your bio, what you do at Automatic and so on?
Yeah. So, yeah, my name is Birgit Pauli-Hack. I right now reside in Munich, Germany. I moved there after 25 years in Florida. And I started contributing to WordPress in 2014, so it's 10-year anniversary. Right now, I'm the curator of the Gutenberg Times. It's a weekly newsletter about everything blog editor. And I run a podcast, the Gutenberg Changelog, that's a little bit more in detail than what we're going to do here, I think. And at Automatic, I'm also part of the core contributors that do documentation, developer blog, editing, release support. Yeah, I was part of the release squad from 6.0 to 6.4. And now I'm taking a break. And sometimes I also be part of the release squad for a Gutenberg plugin. So, yeah, it's kind of a janitorial curating kind of position.
Nice. Can I ask, because I don't think I've ever asked you this, Did you sort of fall into this, or were you very purposeful back in the day before Gutenberg really came around? So in 2014, when you started, I think maybe somebody somewhere had an inkling that Gutenberg was going to be a thing, but it wasn't until, I don't know, maybe 2016 that I started to hear about it, and then really nothing for a long time. It was sort of happening in a laboratory somewhere, and then it dropped into core and what have you. Were you right, really focused on that from the very beginning, or was it a bit more accidental that you decided to give yourself over to Gutenberg?
Well, 2014 was more like I had already 5 year kind of training people using WordPress.
Okay.
In 2014 was I took over I was a community organizer, took over the local meetup. Yeah, grew it to a few more people, and Gutenberg only came on my radar at WordCamp Europe in Paris,
right.
2017.
Yep.
And that's where the first kind of video was shown. It wasn't even a live demo like Matthias did at the WordCamp US at the same year. But that's where I realized, especially my experience with the nonprofits, that kind of like the what you see is what you get, and had trouble. Yeah, I saw the next big thing. And I really was very amazed on how modern it looked and how it will change how we create content on WordPress. And that's why then of course it was all the controversy around it, but I wanted to kind of see what do people do with this? Yeah. There's so much out there that people experiment with. There was a creative wave of oh, let's test this new thing. And so I was always kind of picking up on the things that's happening in the community. And in January 2018, I started the newsletter on the Gutenberg Times.
Perfect. Thank you. I similar story. I can't remember the year, but certainly long before it was in core, I remember somebody, I think it was a chap called Doug Bellchamber, said to me, have you heard of Gutenberg? And I was like, no, what is it? And told me about it. And I didn't quite get it. I just thought at that time, okay, so they're trying to build a page builder, basically. And, you know, because drag, drop, move things around with a mouse, what have you. And it wasn't until much later, in fact, long after it had gone into core, that I started to figure out, okay, each of these little blocks can do a ton of extra stuff. And if you know what you're doing as a developer, each of those blocks can do a whole range of things. In fact, each block could really be like a mini application. And it was at that point that I thought, oh, okay, right, this is interesting, and got into it. And that is now the builder that I use on every single thing. It has been for many, many years. We're recording this in October 2024. And I know that for some of you out there, you are very happy with your page builder of choice. Don't switch off. And maybe some of you are in the transition period where you're thinking, you know what, I'll give blocks a go. I'll give the block editor, the site editor, full site editing a bit of a go. Stick around anyway, because some of the things that are happening, if you're not paying close attention, you may miss a few things. And I think some of them are going to be really profoundly impactful for your WordPress websites going forward. So with all that said, thank you. Birgit has been very kind to throw a Google Doc together along with a ton of resources that could get mentioned today. But what we've decided to do is just go through the top items which Birgit thinks are going to give the most value. And then after, I don't know, something like 45 minutes, 50 minutes, something like that, wherever we've got to is where we've got to. And the other items will just drop off, and either they'll be featured on another show another time, or they'll just, you know, go and we won't discuss them. But with that said, Birgit, I'll put everything that we talk about into our show notes. So do you want to kick us off? Where do you want to begin in the myriad of links that you've got?
Well, I think, so we're all about 4 weeks away, maybe even only 3 weeks away from the next WordPress release. That's WordPress 6.7. And I think it would be helpful for anybody who listens in the next 3 weeks to this show to learn what's going to be in the new version in terms of content creation and also site building for site editors kind of thing. So I'm pulling up the Source of Truth, which is a book of almost all the changes that come with 6.7, compiled by Anne McCarthy, who's one of the product managers. And you can find it on the Gutenberg Times. It's the first time that the Gutenberg Times kind of houses that.
That's nice.
And now, so we have a few priority items for 6.7, and then we have some additional things. So depending on where you are in the user journey on WordPress, it will be very important to you or less relevant. So either way it goes, we'll see how it goes.
I'm just going to mention the URL for this one, actually, because this, maybe I won't mention the URLs in the future because I'll just point people. But this one, I think, has so much impact, it's worth mentioning. So it's gutenbergtimes.com and then /6-7. So think of 6.7 -source-of-truth, of-truth, if you know what I mean. Again, the links will be in the show notes, but go and check it out. This post just by itself could be a week-long episode because this feels like one of the bigger releases. What are the top level items that you would cherry pick out of this?
So definitely the new default theme 2025 is something that I'm really excited about because it kind of goes at one point back to the roots of WordPress where you can build sites for a personal blog, for a small business, as well as for a photo blog, or a news site. And it has a lot of patterns that they put together, but also section styles that you can really change the look and feel of your website without having to change the theme. So that's really the goal of the 2025, to be quite versatile and also to give a lot of So it has full page layouts. So if you want to build a website off of it and say, okay, I need a new page, and then you can get full page layouts. So from the top header, from the header hero image to the services image, to the services price list kind of thing, and kind of put it once in your page and then make the changes. You don't have to assemble the pages with the single blocks. Yeah. So you get a collection of blocks and a collection of patterns that kind of drop into your page. So that's definitely something very, I really appreciate that, that I want to get my work done. And the more design that comes in, helps me with the design, the better it is.
I think it's really nice as well. I mean, if you haven't really used patterns, just think of basically clicking a button and then, like Birgit said, entire pages or just entire rows. In fact, anything from the tiniest thing to the whole thing drops in on that page. And it's breathtakingly simple. But the lovely thing as well is you can then go and inspect how that's been done. So you can go and fiddle around in the settings. You don't need to get your hands dirty with any code. And you can then replicate those in your own patterns, layouts, what have you, and save those elsewhere. But yeah, again, the fact that it's been kind of mooted to satisfy different audiences, like a blogger or a, you know, a personal business website or something like that, is really nice. But patterns for me is the thing now. That's almost like the replacement for a theme. I know you need an overarching wrapper of a theme, but it kind of feels almost as if the theme itself is going to take a back seat a little bit to patterns in the future. And we've seen quite a few commercial theme companies leaning into that experience as well. Okay.
Right. Yeah. And since 6.6, a theme also lean into sections.
Yeah.
More like different patterns or single blocks, because then they can define to be following a different styling. Yeah. So if you have a group block that is a call to action and it's in a list of in your page on the third or fourth one section there, you can change it through just go to the style and then look at the styles there to have a different black background color, have a different font. But you don't have to do it by yourself. You get a comprehensive style change with just one button. And I really like that it changes not only the background, but also adopts the text with it, adopts the image with it if you want to. Yeah. So it gives you a lot more flexibility just for that one section. That could be, call to action, could be the pricing. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Speaking of block-based themes, I know there's a fair bit of inertia. There's a lot of people who really are still hanging around with their classic theme, and that's fine. You know, that's not going away anywhere.
No.
But it is worth checking out. The UI for all of the bits is becoming much more stable, much more familiar, much more usable. Is there a learning curve? Yes. Will it probably frustrate you in part? Yes, it probably will. But it's one of those muscle memory things. I think after you've, you know, oh, where's that? Oh, okay, it was over there. Right. You know, you do that five or six times and suddenly it all starts to click. It probably won't be settled where it is at the moment. I imagine it'll still change over the months and years to come. But
yeah,
definitely worth checking it out at the moment. And I think we've got nearly 1,000 block-based themes.
Hit it.
Have we hit it?
We
Has that
it.
Happened now?
We hit it today.
Oh,
we hit it
okay.
Today, yeah.
There you go. So it's definitely beginning to take off. Maybe not in the way that everybody involved in the project had hoped, but we're getting there now. Okay, so that was the theme, 2025 and 6.7. What are some of the other bits about the 6.7 release?
So one of the other goals for the phase three was that the admin design kind of changes a bit, or that the early adoptions of a new admin design came into the site editor, and it's called the data views. That's where you, in the admin, see a list of pages, a list of templates, a list of patterns, and then you as a user can really change how those are displayed in your admin section. So if there's a grid layout, there's a table layout, there's even there's a list layout, especially for pages, where you have the list, and when you click on the list in the third pane, the window pane, it opens already that particular page. So you don't have to go out and in again. You can kind of go through the list of things and see how it all comes together.
Yeah.
That's a really great enhancement. And there's you can also filter. There's a lot of filtering there. So all the features that you see in the screen options today in the WP Admin have gotten a much modern look, and also a UI that's a little bit more intuitive for first-time users, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel it's really like a nice thing. It's kind of the sort of thing that I've been happy with in WordPress, these data views. You know, there's a list of my posts. That's fine. I hover over them and I get the edit button and, you know, what have you. But when you're presented with something with more features in it, so I don't know, you might want to change the order of it in a particular way, filter in a particular way. You may want to see different columns of data. And I'm presuming that in the future, plugin developers will really lean into this. And
right.
I don't know, they've got a real estate plugin or something. You'll be able to drop in information into those data views about how many bedrooms this house has got and that kind of stuff, and be able to filter it in that way. All of that is, it just brings it into line with all the SaaS apps in the world out there, you know, that have been doing this kind of thing forever. And you'll be able to select, your clients will be able to ask you to select on their behalf what data they want to see. And yeah, that's really big. Did it need to happen? Probably not right away, but is it way better? Yes, much better.
Yeah.
Okay, data views. What else?
Data views. So the next thing that I have on my list here is the consolidation of the design tools for each block. So there was a time where you had a paragraph block and you had a background and a text to it, but you couldn't do borders around it. You couldn't control the dimensions of padding or the margin. For 6.6 as well as for 6.7, the team did a concerted effort to get most of the design tools to most of the blocks. So you can, you have a standard interface for, you don't have to think, oh no, I can't do borders for heading, but I can't do it for the site title or something like that. It's just there. And that makes it a much more intuitive situation there.
Yeah, it also feels like this was probably a fairly legitimate complaint, in inverted commas, from people who were moving from other third-party tools, that, you know, the design options weren't there. And, you know, fair enough, they weren't. And now they're beginning to creep in. So you'll be able to do all of the different bits and pieces. I mean, will it have everything for everybody? No, probably not. But there's more than there ever was. And so things like padding, borders, as Birgit said, is all going to be there on a block-by-block basis. Yeah, shadows and things like that. Yeah, so there's loads coming in.
Yeah.
So you, and this is, by the way, we should say, this is all your core blocks. This is not, you know, the third-party tools that you've been using. Well, they're doing their own thing. So, you know. Anything else in the 6.7?
But that's part of the development process.
Yeah.
That first to do it for one block, see how it works and how it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And then you replicate it for the other block.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where they're catching up. There's now a... the query loop block is something that has... What comes with the site editor to WordPress users is that there are some concepts that haven't been there before, and it takes a little bit of a practice and testing out to get what it does. Yeah, kind of. So the query loop is pretty much your post list on an archive page or on the front page, or even in the sidebar when you have a list of other posts about that topic or that category. And the query loop block has gotten quite a few additional settings now. With the 6.7, it's all organized now from into the sidebar, so you have it all in one place. Some of the controls were in the toolbar, so now you can filter it by custom post type, you can filter it by category, you can filter by author, by tags. That's one thing. You can also say, okay, I have some offsets. And you see that quite nicely in the 2025 homepage for a news website. there are actually five different query loops in there, depending on the offsets and how many category or which categories they're in there. So it's actually quite nicely to see actually in the 2025 when you go into the back end of a template to see how it's assembled. So
it really does bring, like, if you were to rewind the clock 5 years or something, this block is superpowers. You know, it was the kind of thing that really was in the purview of developers only. You know, if you wanted to put that thing together, if you wanted to be able to say, okay, show me a list of all of the, I don't know, the posts with a category of this, but ignore the first one because I've got the first one somewhere else. So let's start at number one, you know, beginning at zero. And all of that would have been a phone call to your developer who then would have put some sort of template together. But now it can be done trivially. Again, you'll probably get it wrong the first time you do it, but opening it up and playing around, and then you can style it, make it how you like, you know, so it's not the default way it's all laid out. Do it in different grids and layouts and things like that. So again, just brilliant. Like I said, superpowers. Yeah. For mere mortals, that's wonderful.
Well, there were two things that, so I had an agency for 20 years, and 10 of them were built on WordPress. The sites were built on WordPress. And one of the most frequently asked questions was, can you remove the word category in front of the archive?
Right, yeah.
That needed a developer touching code. Can we remove the date because people are not clicking at it because the poster seems to be outdated? Or, well, everybody knows that I'm the author of this website. Can we remove the author on every page kind of thing? Yeah. Those were all things that had to be done by a developer before. And now it's coming, with a query block to you.
Now it's a tiny toggle. You just switch it. And honestly, the power that brings, the news WordPress website is the perfect example, isn't it? Because the content's constantly getting updated. You know, people are going to be searching for the different kinds of news that they want to drill down into. And you can throw multiple of these onto a page and the results are remarkable. Style them how you like. Okay, brilliant. Yeah. That's great. What else?
That's the query loop. What else? Part of it, the font management. If you want to really get into the nitty gritty of your website, you also have, and you have an opinion about fonts, you can actually download the fonts and manage them on your website without having a theme developer helping you out with that. So, and the tools have gotten really better now in terms of editing and apply font size presets that you can add to it. So you can, when you create, you can actually create your own theme with the site editor, and there are tools to download it. That's actually...
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So you can use the interface that WordPress gives you, and then there's another plugin that's called Create Block Theme, where you can bring everything into the file, the files and directory, download the theme, and upload it to a new website. Yeah, and it will download all the fonts, it will download all the assets, and it will download all the patterns and templates. So it's a really good, but I got away from the font manager.
No, it's okay. I was just going to say that the whole font manager thing, I guess the closest description really would be something a bit like the media library or something like that, only for fonts. And it sort of feels like the kind of thing that you'll go into a little bit. Probably not as much as the media library, but again, really nice to have that in core because, again, probably a number of years ago, this would have been some developer work. You know, if you wanted to somehow get those different fonts into your website, you would have needed to make a phone call if you weren't experienced. So really nice. Okay. Anything else in 6.7?
Oh, there's a lot.
Oh, there's a lot.
How much time do we have?
Oh, we're good. We can keep going on 6.7 until the cows come home. It's fine.
So let me see. We talked about patterns before, and that you can assemble a page just with a couple of patterns or several patterns that have different use cases in there. You are supported by a new zoom out view.
Yeah.
That is, it's a toggle in the top toolbar, and then you click on it, and then you see like a bird's eye view of your of that particular page. And then you can open the pattern inserter and just drag and drop the pattern over where you need it. And it's so much easier to assemble that because you have a better overview on your page. And you're doing just that particular thing. You don't have to deal with design or design tools or any styles or something.
Yeah,
like
it feels a bit like when you're using something like Figma and you've created a whole page design, and you know, so it's almost like a skyscraper kind of view. You know, it's long and tall. You click the button and you're suddenly zoomed out. So even on like a little 13-inch laptop, you can suddenly see all of it. And then it becomes almost like, I don't know, something like MailChimp or something like that, where you drag a block in and then all of the bits kind of separate out and you slide it into the remaining gap and you sort of build from, it's like Lego blocks at that point.
Yeah.
And it's just really nice to see the whole design. Whereas if, again, like me, if you're carrying around like a little laptop, you can't really see a lot. You know, you've got this tiny little square view by the time you've got the left and the right sidebars. So you scroll up, scroll down, and you think, do those two things look nice together? I'm not really sure. Does the color of that one go with that one? I can never see them together because they're miles away. And then you click and there they are all together. Yeah. And it's magnificent. Really, really nice. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, and you get really what you see is what you get kind of feel. But you don't have to save it and look over to the front end to see if it really fits. Yeah,
All of a sudden it goes from like a building tool to almost, it feels like a design tool at that point. Like I said, a bit more like Figma. You're kind of concentrating on the whole thing rather than the little bits of the thing. You know, it's like, does that whole design look good? Yeah, it does. Okay, zoom out again. Okay, brilliant. Anything else on that list?
Yeah,
I know we're having to be picky, aren't we, here?
Well, we'll have to, yeah. But I wanted to point out that a lot of blocks now also have background image support. So, and the full site as well. I mean, it could get to a situation where they are the GeoCities of the 90s kind of thing, where you have all kind of different backgrounds on different places. But you can now have a background image for the group block, for the site. Yeah. So if you want some colors behind, some clouds behind your site, or some wood pattern or something like that for the bits that don't display well, on a screen. So that is really nice.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel that there's a lot of interesting things that have been happening in the community at large with other projects, you know, the other sort of block suites that you could mention. And we're at that point now where they've pushed in certain directions and done their own thing. And it feels almost like some of those ideas are now, okay, that's popular, is it? Okay, let's drag that and make that in the 80% of core users. And it's lovely to see that sort of symbiosis. Yeah, really nice.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of, if you have relied on these block collections that came out the first 3, 4, 5 years of the block editor, I think it would be worthwhile for one or other block to kind of look at core, what it does, to kind of see if you want to switch or do you want to kind of see a different take on things than before.
Yeah, there's a lot more design options in there, a lot more stability, a lot less uncertainty about how it's going to look 6 months from now than how it does now in terms of its functionality.
It will be a little bit difficult if you do decide to switch from one block to the other to update the rest of your website as well. So there is a plugin in the plugin repository. It's called Find My Blocks.
Where you can
kind of get a list of all the blocks that you have and how often they were used, and then you can say, okay,
make a judgment. 27,000 times. Okay, we'll leave that one alone.
There's also a media library update. Is that it auto sizes? WordPress now auto sizes your lazy loaded images. So there is this lazy loading feature, but now WordPress also takes it and auto resizes them. So it definitely lazy loads in other places as well. So it's more like a speed thing, definitely a performance thing.
Yeah.
But it's really important to point out, because it took a while to get it to that place. And
yeah, a lot of work being done by the performance team, transformational work, really bringing WordPress really into the year 2024. Really, there's so much work over the last 2 years. It's been brilliant. So hat tip to that team who have been every month, more or less. It seems like they've come out with something new. So thank you very much to them.
Yeah.
Next. Now, I don't really get this next one, I have to say. If it's the one you were going to mention, this iframing of meta boxes, I'm not sure. I don't quite understand it. So you're going to have to school me, Big.
So at the early days of the block editor, it was only a post editor. So you had the post, and then underneath you see from all the plugins the meta boxes, like the Yoast ones or the newsletter ones, or the block editor wasn't loaded in an iframe, but the site editor needed to be loaded into an iframe to do all the good things, like the zoom out or the data views and all that. But then earlier this year, or even last year, they started to think, okay, if we have a post editor and a site editor, and they do all the same things, why don't we unify them and only have one component for that to modify and do only change, manage what's different? But that's not possible to load the post editor into an iframe when the meta boxes are there.
Got it.
So there were quite a few iterations on what to do with the meta boxes to get the post editor into the iframe. It's also better to style it. The biggest advantage is that you don't have to separately style the block editor blocks or sections for the post editor in comparison to the front end, because now the styles apply one to one in the editor as well as in front end. That is not possible when the editor is loaded in the iframe.
Okay. So it's one of those features that is important, crucial for the development of the project going forwards, but not necessarily one that we'll be able to notice all that much. It's just sort of happening in the background, but it's...
Right. It's more important for the plugin developers to look at their implementation of the meta boxes, that it still works, because it kind of has now two iframes. So I know that Yoast SEO has already adopted, some others haven't yet. You see it when things are centralized or on the left-hand side.
Got it.
Underneath the post editor or page editor for that.
Okie doke.
So that's kind of important for backwards compatibility for the third party, for the plugins.
Should we do a couple more on 6.7? I know that's a tall order, but should we just limit ourselves to a couple more, and then we can maybe get on to some of the other bits? I know you're going to have to cherry pick, aren't you? It's not easy. Yeah, there's a whole lot. Do you know what I'm going to do, Big? I think I'll just copy and paste these show notes. So they'll have all the links. And the ones that we cover, we cover. And the ones that we don't, you can go and explore yourself.
There you go. I'm reading off of the source of truth, so that's pretty much that one post to share. There's also one thing I wanted to point out is a improvement in writing flow. So the right hand side on the publishing or the post has changed a bit. You might not see where the revisions are, because the delete button or something like that has changed a bit. So take a few moments to get yourself acquainted with it again, because some of all the features are still there. They're just not as prominent as they used to be.
Yeah, little things like the featured image has now found its way to the top. It's now a button as opposed to a separate section all of its own. What else? Right. There's another one that I thought about.
Has an excerpt. Just click on the excerpt.
Yep.
And then you also see some of the information, like how many words are in the post right next to the featured image. There's a little summary there. So I'm thinking maybe it will be removed from the outline at one point on the list view. But we are not quite sure. So developers are waiting for user feedback on that.
Yeah. Anyway, needless to say, a few things in the right-hand sidebar have sort of moved around a little bit. And if you don't see it, my advice would be head to the top and then work your way down And things that might have been buttons or whole sections might just now be a link. So just have a little play in there.
Or hidden in the three-dot menu kind of thing.
Yeah.
I always overlook the three dots kind of. Oh,
yeah. Well, that's the other thing. Yeah. If I can't find it, that's where I go. And then usually discover there's a whole load of new stuff in there that I didn't know about.
Yeah.
Okie doke.
Okay.
One more.
One more.
So,
I think we're done. Yeah. The rest that I'm kind of looking at are really developer focused.
Yeah, let's skip
things. Yeah, that are important for a few, but definitely check them out. There's also the WordPress 6.7 release candidate 1 should be out by the time you listen to this show. And with it comes the field guide, which has all the developer notes and all the changes that are more developer related to check them out. So that's definitely a place to go.
Okay.
If you want to have somebody walk you through those with a demo and not on audio, because it's always a little harder to explain.
Is
save the date. There is on November 5th, is a live stream on WordPress 6.7 highlights with a Q&A on YouTube, on the WordPress YouTube channel at 1700 UTC. That's with Jamie Mosland, Rich Tabor, and Nick Diego. Just kind of put it on your calendar.
Nice.
So you can see all the things that we talked about. And more in a demo.
Nice. Perfect. Yeah. A lot of this stuff will make a lot more sense when you actually see it. And they'll probably manage to achieve that in short shrift by clicking on things and what have you. Okay. So that's 6.7. There's a load in there. And like I said, there'll be a load more links in the show notes that we haven't been able to cover. But the source of truth over on the GutenbergTimes.com website is probably the best place to land. Go and explore that. And then should we just go back to the top of our Google Doc and talk about what I think at the minute is one of the most exciting things in the WordPress space? So it's not core necessarily, but it's Playground. Playground, if you haven't had a play with Playground, honestly, it's going to change your life. If you're building WordPress websites or, I don't know, you want to try out a plugin or you want to just spin up a WordPress website quickly, this is fabulous. And there's a lot of more functionality being added in. And again, should we just a couple of minutes on this? What have you got to add about that?
So Playground has a new app design. It follows the data views, list view kind of thing. And now you can actually have use it for multiple sites. So you can spin up multiple sites in one browser and not have 15 tabs open. Like on Getting Lost, because the tabs look all the same. So Playground, you can either follow a blueprint that is provided to you, or you can write it yourself, or you can just kind of say playground.wordpress.net/plugin equals Gutenberg. And that gives you a new WordPress website in the browser with the Gutenberg plugin installed, with the latest version of the Gutenberg plugin. So if you don't use the Gutenberg plugin on your live site because it's still a little bit beta, but you want to see what the newest version it looks like, that's how you can use it. Or when you say, okay, I see a theme in the repository and I want to see how that's going to work, or if it helps me, you can say playground.wordpress.net/theme=.
Whatever. Yeah.
Whatever. I don't think that theme is there, but
maybe
I should build it.
Yeah, there really should be. Yeah. It's the best one. Yeah.
But one of the thousand that you want to.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how you can use Playground. You can also use Playground from a list of blueprints. So
cool.
where you say, okay, I want a playground that has that lets me add more posts to the site, and there's a blueprint there that shows you how to do this, or that you can test out there. There's a blueprint gallery there that you can browse and figure out. There's a blueprint there how to show off WooCommerce with products, how to show off a theme demo or testing a theme with some content in there. Lots of different things.
Yeah, it's really profound. I mean, it's almost akin to me to like when plugins came to WordPress. This is like whole websites coming to WordPress in this blueprint metaphor, where you'll literally click a button and you could just have any variation of a website. And we're just kind of at the beginning of that journey and mm-hmm. figuring out what that looks like. So at the minute, everything's a bit experimental, and maybe in 5 years, 2 years, whatever time, we'll have more utilitarian things. But for now, just the profundity of the technology itself is pretty amazing. Click a button in the browser, you get a WordPress website and everything's local. And
you don't need a database.
You don't need anything.
Sorry.
No. Well, yeah. I mean, you sort of do,
you
but
need
sort
a
of
browser.
Don't. Yeah, but you don't need a hosting company to just check stuff out. You know, you can go and just have it open in your browser. And kind of interesting, and I can't remember when this happened or if it's still to happen, the idea of sort of permanence of that as well. So if you close the browser tab, the blueprint that you may have used, or the playground that you may have used, will stick around. So you can come back to it at a later date, which is amazing, and kind of what I was hoping it would get to, and it now appears to be there. So
right, and there is actually a movement or a research project to integrate Playground with the Data Liberation Project.
Yeah.
So that you can load the website into a Playground. Having a plugin on your website that says, okay, load this site in a Playground. It makes a copy of it into Playground, and then you can move it to another host.
Right.
That would be really cool.
It's kind of like the middleware for migration. It suddenly becomes this kind of like inbuilt thing. It's just happening in the browser. You know, you put it into the browser, there it is, and then go to your other hosting company or whatever it is that you're working with, and then say, right, now take it from there and put it there, and everything should just work. It's such a great mechanism.
Yeah, another idea that they are really pursuing and researching, the team working on it, is to go to a non-WordPress website, click on a browser extension that is built with a Playground, and Playground kind of goes out and grabs things from the website, puts it into a WordPress site, and then you can add it to a hosting company. So so that's kind of the big idea about it. And people are really working on that. That's to grab a static website, for instance. Yeah.
So I know that it's not part of core, but it is, to me at least anyway, it's one of the most profoundly exciting technologies in the WordPress space at the moment. I just think it's unimagined what people will come up with. And I keep using the metaphor. It's a bit like, when the iPhone came out but didn't have the App Store. I feel that's like the App Store is Playground, and it'll just be phenomenal what people will be able to do to it. And we just haven't imagined what that will be, but the ability to, I don't know, download variants of websites, have an entire website built, just experiment with it, play with it, and then decide to, I don't know, buy it or something like that, and you're off to the races. Okay, so that's Playground. Very exciting. Gutenberg Experiments page. Do you want to get into a couple of bits on there? Time is now going short.
Okay. All right. Well, I think there's two experiments that I want to point out that are on the Gutenberg Experiments page. When you install the Gutenberg plugin, on the menu on the right left hand side, there is an experiments menu item. When you click on that, you get a list of all the experiments that are in Gutenberg, and one of them is enable full page client side navigation, client side media processing, or live collaboration and offline persistence, or data views or forms. And some of them are, and those experiments are in their different stages of viability. That's why they're called experiments. And there's one that's about the data views that where you can see a redesign of the post dashboard. So the posts are not yet in this new WP admin kind of view. You still have to go to your post sections there, but it has already started to see if that can be migrated to that too, and how that works. You'll find there. And another one is the quick editor in the data views. That's where you can rename a post or change the categories and all that. So that's that part. And then there is the grid interactivity. And we did a demo a couple of months ago, actually, about that with Isabel Bryson, who has drag and drop with the grid layout. That is really exciting to come to WordPress in 6.8, hopefully. And how that's going to work and how you can assemble pages and design them. That's really cool. Yeah.
There's an absolute ton in here as well that we're not even going to be able to get to. And maybe next time this will be something that we could focus on, would be the whole real-time collaboration, which is a big focus. But it almost seems like that bit has gone quiet just for now, whilst a lot of other things are happening. I'm sure that's not the case, but it's not sort of making all the headlines. But the idea of Google Docs style collaborative editing coming to a WordPress website near you. We've reached 46 minutes, and we did say at the outset that once we got to that milestone, we'd just knock it on the head regardless. So is that okay with you? I know you had a lot more on that list.
Oh, I can talk about hours.
It depends
on who's going to listen.
A 4-hour episode all about the bits and pieces. Right. Okay, so all I'll say is this. Birgit put a whole ton of links that we didn't get to. I would say there's probably three times as many things that we didn't talk about as well. Maybe that's an exaggeration. Double the amount that we talked about than are on this Google Doc. So there's loads more to inspect, and I will place those into the show notes. So if you go to wpbuilds.com and search for this episode, I don't know what the episode number will be yet, but I'll have padded it out in the audio that prefaces this. So search for this particular episode and you'll be able to see all of the links in there. Honestly, Birgit, firstly, thank you for all the hard work you do, and also the teams that you're surrounded with over at Automattic. Really appreciate that. And thank you for joining me today and elaborating what has happened in the recent past. And hopefully we'll do this again in a few months' time. Thank you very much.
Yes. Well, thank you, Nathan. And just for one more word, if I may, if you're a site builder and you build sites for others and you test some of those good features, and especially the query loop and the templating things, and it all comes a little bit too confusing, there is in the WordPress Slack, there is a channel called Outreach. And that's where other site builders hang out. And that's also where Nick Diego and myself and Justin Tadlock hang out to answer questions, to make sure that things are understood, even or we find it's a bug and out of the discussion, and then we let the developers know. But it's definitely a place for you to get your questions answered if something is confusing and you didn't get to move forward or.
Okay, so that's go and search for the Make WordPress Slack, and then once you're in there, the Outreach channel. So hashtag Outreach, go and check that out. So
thanks for letting me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Say that.
So Birgit Palihak, thank you so much for joining me today. Hopefully, we'll see you on This Week in WordPress before the next episode of this. But if not, I will see you in an episode sometime soon, talking about the next 3 months or so of WordPress. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you very much for having me, Nathan.
Well, I really hope that you enjoyed that fascinating chatting to Birgit Palihak, all about the bits and pieces that have been happening. Don't forget that if you've got a comment to make, head to wpbuilds.com, search for episode number 396, and leave us a comment there. We would love to hear from you. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also joined by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And also by Omnisend. Omnisend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. And true, sincere, honest thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost and Omnisend for really helping out and keeping the lights on over on the WP Builds podcast. Okay, that really is all that I've got time for. We'll be back with an interview next week, so join us for that. Don't forget the This Week in WordPress show, which happens live every Monday, wpbuilds.com/live. Join us then, 2 p.m. UK time. See you there. If not, we'll see you for the podcast next week. I'm going to fade in some cheesy AI-generated music and say, stay safe, have a good week. Bye-bye for now.